right. We are live on Facebook. Hello, friends. It is Friday, which means it's time for Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro. She is here with one of her friends, Kevin Mahoney, CFP, who is the financial advisor for millennials. So before we started the show, we were talking about how I'm going to hit him up with my kids. And today they're going to talk about saving and preparing for college. So take it away, Miss Rita.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being here. And Hope, thank you so much for kicking us off. So Kevin, before we start, as mentioned, I think it'd be important for me to share with our viewers and listeners, of course, congratulations on the Investopedia Top 100. Congratulations on Top 10 Young Advisors. That is amazing. Investment News 40 Under 40. So I told my daughter about you, and she actually is a huge fan. She's like, I read about him. Mom, is this guy any good? Is he a CFP? Why would anyone hire someone who's not a CFP? And so that is a great way to kick it back to you. I know you're CFP Pro. What prompted you to launch your firm and then serve millennials?
Yeah, good question. So when I had my first child and my wife and I were trying to kind of figure out some of the new financial questions that were going to come up in our lives as a result of having our son, I was spending so much time doing this research, even though I had this financial background. And I figured that if I was in this position, I could only imagine what my friends who had no finance background were thinking, and you know, the stress that they felt trying to prepare for some of these life changes. And so I saw a great opportunity to, you know, take the best parts of the financial planning profession and the things that a CFP can offer to people, and specifically tailor them to people in their late 20s, 30s, early 40s, as these new events come up in life where meaningful financial decisions take place, whether it's buying a house or saving for college, trying to pay off student loans while saving for retirement. It's a long list of potential things. And there hasn't always been a large group of people, specifically peers, to help people through some of those decisions. So I saw a great opportunity, and you know, it's really rewarding to be able to help people on that journey while my family is going through a similar journey ourselves.
I absolutely love that. And thank you so much for sharing. And what are some of the, I guess, the top three concerns that people come to you?
Yeah, the most common three I mentioned briefly before, where you'll often see one or a household, a couple with student loans that they're still trying to pay off, but they're reaching this point in life where they're ready to make big decisions, often together, you know, starting a new life together. And so that may involve saving up for a down payment, often in very expensive housing markets. When a newborn, when a child is on the way, you know, setting up some type of college savings fund. And each one of these can be challenging in its own right and have complexities and uncertainties tied to them. But when they're all on the table and you're trying to navigate, all right, you know, I still have to make my student loan payments. How can I do that while also saving for this down payment for a house? But we don't want to neglect our child's college fund. Like they're all interwoven. And so it's talking through how to balance those trade-offs and make decisions that allow people, to live their lives to the extent that, you know, they're interested in doing so and not feel, you know, totally thwarted or frustrated by any of the obstacles that they face with all those trade-offs.
Thank you for that, Kevin. I just love your website. It is so clean, beautiful, and inviting. And one of the things I noticed, you said something about TikTok, right? So can you speak to, it doesn't matter, this is free. You can speak freely about your peers or people in general getting advice, because you're a CFP Pro, from influencers on TikTok and some of the challenges that may pose.
Yeah, so I did put that there a little bit tongue in cheek, but the overall idea was, you know, at some point, specifically when the decisions grow in magnitude, there's a risk in kind of just running with, you know, advice you're hearing from someone who you haven't necessarily vetted, or, you know, getting caught up in a trend that may be, you know, popular for the moment, but may not be sustainable or fit your life specifically. You know, even if it's an okay idea for some other people, maybe it's not the best for you. And that's where I think a CFP, you know, who has a broader base of knowledge and has the experience working with individuals one-on-one and has seen some of those different, you know, circumstances and life experiences that can drive these financial decisions. There's a big difference in talking through financial issues with a third party in that position than, you know, taking the easier, perhaps more fun approach from something like TikTok. Again, not to say that all TikTok advice or, you know, the people using that platform are bad or wrong, but I think it's important to realize when the usefulness of that perhaps, you know, isn't what you need at that point in time.
No, I'm with you because we're both CFP pros. TikTok can be entertaining, but is that fiduciary level advice? Sure. I don't know. Could be, maybe not. So
and we'll probably get to a point where more CFP pros are using it, right? Like, especially the younger CFPs who are coming up through the business now, that will be much more, you know, normal for them. And we will probably reach a time where it's easier to vet, you know, who those people are, whether it's TikTok or something else, so that the quality of advice rises. But we may not be at that point yet.
I'm with you. I love it. I could just see my Gen Z daughter vetting advisors on TikTok.
Sure. She probably holds it against me that I'm not active on TikTok as it is.
I know one daughter's like, this guy's amazing. The younger one is like, I don't know if this guy's any good. He's not on TikTok.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you really professional if you're not on TikTok?
Exactly. So I think this to be helpful because believe it or not, you live in DC. I live in Maryland, but I live much closer to the DC line than Baltimore. We actually have high income earners here, young people under 40 that earn money. I want to use this opportunity to kind of dispel some myths that young people don't have money. In your experience, what do you think that, I know everybody's different, but generally speaking, what do you think millennials want from a financial advisor?
Yeah, that's a great point. So I think one big issue right off the top is that millennials are generalized and have always been generalized as one large group. And there are big downsides with that when you're getting into specifics about people's financing and the, you know, the rules of thumb or the advice that you want to give them. And when you kind of split out millennials into, you know, different parts of the demographic, whether it's, you know, having a college degree or not having a college degree, you know, living in one part of the country compared to another part of the country, you know, the stereotypes don't necessarily hold up. And one thing I was surprised about when I started my company more than 4 years ago now was the number of people who reached out to me in this area in particular with a lot of money in their savings account. Like these were people who, like you said, are high earners. They're doing a good job saving. Often where they get caught up is with those trade-offs that I was talking about, where they may have the savings, they, you know, they have the money there, but there's this fear of using it in the wrong way or putting it towards something, whether it's paying more towards student loans or putting it toward a down payment, where they fear that, you know, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, they'll regret that decision and wish that they had done something different. And that's often where I provide, you know, the best help right out of the gate, where it's like, all right, like we can think through this and we can be prudent in each one of these categories and make decisions that will reflect who you are and the life that you want to live.
That makes total sense. And I love, again, what, on your website, how inviting it was, speaking the language, you know, people's stresses, people's fears, living the life that they want. With that in mind, for the people you serve, not all millennials, what are some of the goals or I know we talked about concerns, but what are some of the things that people are wanting from you?
It's a combination of, I think, what we could describe as more traditional financial planning goals. A lot of people aren't as far along the path of saving for retirement, either as they want to be or they think they should be. You know, especially when you Google something like how much money should I have saved for retirement by age 35, let's say, you can read a blog post like that and see the numbers in there, and it can be very frustrating. You know, there are a lot of negative words I could use to describe how people feel when they read something like that. So part of it is kind of understanding some of the more traditional common goals and where they may want to be with that, again, in a way that reflects their life. And I think the other side of that, or the other half of some of the things, are a little bit less traditional, where it's, you know, gaining more career flexibility. So not necessarily retiring at 65 or even 55, but hey, how can I transition into a job that, you know, maybe pays me a little bit less, but I have much more control over my time? And I can move abroad and still do my work while living abroad for half of the year. So some of those goals that I think we'd probably say that traditionally a lot of people have saved until they actually formally retire and save until later in life, where a lot of people who reach out to me, you know, want some of those things sooner rather than later. And so how can we structure their finances so that, you know, they're making progress in a way that will help to ensure their stability over the long term, but also, you know, bring some of those things that they really value into their lives sooner rather than later.
Well, awesome. So as we wrap up, Kevin, how can people find you? So this is your time to share your website so people can follow you on social media, even if you're not on TikTok yet, people can still find
yes,
you.
Stay tuned. Maybe. I'm not going to commit to that, but maybe. The biggest way that I try to connect with people is through a relatively new podcast I have. It's called Financially Well. Right now that is, based, you can read transcripts of the podcast, on my personal website, which is bykevinmahoney.com. But the podcast itself is also available on, you know, any podcast platform that people use, Spotify, Google, you name it. And then, you know, on Twitter, as you well know, like that's a little bit more of, you know, engagement with other financial advisors. But I think, you know, some of those conversations can be, you know, interesting for prospective clients to read too, because it really gives people an insight into, you know, how some of the best financial advisors and CFPs are thinking about their work and thinking about how they can help other people.
Awesome. And then your website,
the company website. Yeah. The company website is illuminfc.com. And then my personal one where that podcast is bykevinmahoney.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. I want millennials to be able to find you. And now back to you, Hope.
Thank you so much, Kevin. That's really cool. I'm seriously going to hook my kids up with you. I think, right? Because they're 22 and 26. And I think that kids at that stage and age, they're not, my son is in grad school and my daughter owns her own company. So they're not necessarily, especially her, not thinking about this. But I think it's really interesting to get, so people that aren't in the workforce per se with, you know, 401ks and matching up my tests, right? How does that work? So,
and there's such a benefit in getting started that early because, you know, there's so much value in time and what you can do with your savings and some investing when you start that young. But most people, you know, don't do it until, you know, some of those big life events that I talked about happen, you know, when they're 30, 35 or later.
Yeah. And I think increasingly so, Gen Z is more, a little more flexy.
And yeah, I hope so.
You're living your life now and not waiting till you're 65 or 55, you know, to begin. So that is just so cool. So thank you so much. Thank you, Miss Rita, for that great interview. Coming up next on Margaritas with Margarita, we're not going to have it on Friday after Thanksgiving. We are going to have our next episode on Monday, November 29th at 5 p.m. Eastern, when Rita will talk to Dana Wilson, the founder and CEO of CHIP, Changing How Individuals Prosper. Tell us just a little bit about Miss Dana.
So I had the opportunity to meet Miss Dana in person last week at the Think Advisor Luminaries event. Dana is truly changing how individuals prosper with the platform, connecting people of underrepresented communities to connect with professionals. And so that is helping her change the conversation about wealth. So can't wait to have her.
It's so cool. So Monday, November 29th, 5 p.m. Eastern, millennials. Just, I love how you're bringing on so many guests that are tapping these very individual niche markets, but it's the future. So thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Rita. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We will see you on Monday, November 29th and follow it up with a Friday show as well. So have a happy, stay well. We'll see you soon.